Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my special guest joining us from Australia is Liana Allison, and we will be talking about empaths and empathy and empathetic leadership. Liana is the founder of the Institute of Empathic Leadership. She's an empathic leadership coach, businesswoman, spiritual healer, intuitive, and an empowered empath. For decades, she ran her own sizable and successful tourism company, but as a leader, she constantly struggled with her emotional sensitivity. It was draining and made life much harder than it needed to be. That's why she trained in a number of modalities that allowed her to pioneer a new way to deal with her emotions and empower her in business and in life. She is now bringing to this to empaths around the world, helping them learn how to use that emotional software and be confident going after anything they want in life. You can find out more by visiting Liana at her Facebook group, which is facebook.com/Institute of Empathic Leadership/services. And I do have a direct link to that page in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Liana to the show. Good day, Liana.
Hi, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
It is my pleasure, excuse me, and looking forward to talking about this topic today. I have friends who have been asking recently about being an empath and what it's all about, and so I'm looking for today to be a really educational show for those folks. So I guess the first place to start with would be probably to describe exactly what an empath is.
Yes, and many people have many different descriptions of what an empath is, but basically an empath is someone who naturally feels very deeply and they feel other people's energy and emotions and their own very, very deeply and quite often with very little barriers, so they can get very mixed up in other people's feelings, get confused between their own feelings and even thoughts, what's theirs and what is someone else's can be very fluid, let's say. So empaths are really sensitive on many, many levels, which is to me absolutely fantastic. But if you don't know how to actually hold your boundaries and work with it very consciously, it can be absolutely debilitating for some people.
Yeah, excuse me. I know someone who is right in that mode right now of it being debilitating for her. And hopefully we can later on in the show get to talking more about how to cope with that. Now, are there different types of empaths? I mean, is it, you know, strictly emotional? I mean, in what ways does an empath kind of excuse me take on or tune in, or how sensitive to? I mean, are there different types of empaths?
Certainly, and different empaths basically have different strengths. Let's call them. Anywhere for myself, I'm a physical, mental, and emotional empath, so I feel all of those things from other people. Some people might just feel the emotion, some people might just be more highly influenced by people's thoughts, or other people might feel the people around them in their physical sense, how they're feeling in their body. So we have it all, but aspects of that are stronger in different people. My emotional one was probably my strongest, but I have developed the mental and physical side of it for my work, so now that they're more of an even base. So some people will walk into a room and absolutely feel everybody's emotions and just have it all just channeling through them so that they feel those emotions and it feels like their own, which is absolutely exhausting. Other people are really hook into the mental side of it, and these are probably the empaths that have gone down the line of thinking about things a lot more than being in their body. So they will be impacted by the positivity or negativity of the people around them in their thoughts. And the physical stuff is basically you stand next to somebody who might have a sore shoulder, and all of a sudden you've got a sore shoulder, and you've got no idea why normally. So yes, there's definitely different types and different strengths within those types, but generally we have the whole lot. It's just one characteristic is stronger, like a personality.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you know, just hearing the the differences in, if I were to put myself in that place, I could see where easily it would be exhausting, to go through it. And then confusing as well, particularly if you're not aware of, of your strength or that particular characteristic. For some people who maybe are in the physical realm, taking on, physical ailments, the discernment would be quite a challenge.
Very challenging if you weren't aware at all, because it seems like your own. So they take it on in their mind as their ailment, and that means the body and the mind goes, oh, it must be ours, let's make it happen, sort of thing. So our minds are very powerful things. So as soon as we decide something, it's very likely to happen. Empath is so sensitive and fluid in that can happen quite easily for people, which is something that I'm passionate about teaching people about, this sort of thing, because it is so easy to get caught up in it, but also with a little bit of education, easy to change.
Yeah. So now you mentioned about sensitivity. Is there a difference between someone who is an empath and someone who may be, I wouldn't say simply, but highly sensitive, just a highly sensitive type person?
Generally, it's the same thing. If they're really sensitive to their environment, something external of themselves, it means they're an empath.
Okay.
So, and for people like who are really sensitive to certain foods and things like that, they have a very sensitive internal system. They would be generally, I would class them as a physical empath, but also their energy is very fluid and very highly tuned, let's say. There's different variances of our energy and how we're not all one standard energy. Our energy is like having a sports car compared to a truck, sort of thing. And there's nothing wrong with either of them, but that's the difference in our energy in different people. So we have to work differently. The trouble is the world wants to make us all be a collective all the time, and we're actually individuals and we need to be treated as such. There is not one fix for everybody, but there are some general rules that we can follow to help ourselves.
And that's the case in almost any classification, when you try to group someone into a particular category, that there are just so many individual variations that, you know,
yeah.
it can be difficult, and you kind of have to look at it individually. And I would think that part of, once you discover you are empathic, then it seems then the next step is to get become aware of your sensitivities. You know, I mean, like you mentioned, the
yeah.
physical, emotional, mental is kind of getting a handle on, you know, where is it strongest for me, and you know, what areas that, you know, maybe aren't as strong.
Yes, exactly. Because as soon as you, I mean, it's everything is an internal journey of discovery about yourself. So self-awareness and self-responsibility means obviously that you have to look within and really look at yourself and see who you are. So many times we've been taught to look externally because the external world is so important, that the internal world gets ignored, especially as we get older and get, you know, responsibilities and work and all the rest of it. But the internal mechanisms, if they're not working with self-awareness and self-responsibility, then the external world reflects that. And that's where you have to do that journey of discovery about yourself, as you said, learning about your empathic abilities, how to live with them, work with them, how to make them actually your own superpower, to use them in a way that really helps you in life rather than holds you back in life. And that's certainly what I've had to do in my life, because when I first, the first half of my life was very much about busy, 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 business, family, kids, all the rest of it. And I ignored all the symptoms that I was having, and the symptoms included things like physical illnesses, emotional overwhelm, complete mental chatter, so very busy mind, until I hit that point where I started to get so physically sick and emotionally overwhelmed that I just threw my hands up and went, okay, time to find a way to actually figure this out, because this isn't working for me. There's got to be more to life than this. So that
okay.
activated my journey of self-discovery.
Okay, well, that's great. Yeah, it is. I mean, it would seem to be an unfolding process, and one, I would think that also that, you know, even if you're strong in one particular area, you know, or as you go through life, the amount of sensitivity may vary depending on your experiences and development.
Yes, totally. I think the sensitivity is always there, but the blockage around feeling is depending on how much awareness you have and how much personal growth work that you've done. The sensitivity is always there. We can block it to a certain extent by having a very busy mind or denial, but it doesn't last. That's a blockage mechanism. It doesn't actually make anything go away or solve anything. It just uses your very strong mind to deny what's actually going on.
Okay. All right. Now, are there any particular traits that are associated with being an empath? Any distinguishing? What would they be?
Yeah, there is. Well, as I just discussed earlier, it's basically feeling other people's emotions or their physicality or thoughts. The empaths can be people who are quite often in care situations because they feel everybody else's situations. They tend to want to fix it. They want to fix themselves. They think something's wrong. So subconsciously they want to fix other people's issues as well. Women in particular, there's a stronger percentage of women in this arena, but that's because of our own innate makeup as a human being. As a woman, our brains work slightly differently. We have a higher brain patterns that go through our emotional center, so we're more connected with that. Therefore, we have a higher percentage in the female population. Now, for empaths, generally can feel like the world can be quite scary or painful or difficult, so difficult to negotiate, and they don't deal well with really pushy people. They tend to want to just everything to flow nicely and to be calm. So anyone that is pushy or a little bit more of a verbal go-getter, let's call it, or got a fairly strong zingy energy, they don't deal well with that. So they try and make their homes nice and peaceful. Introverts, they can be people who need to rest a lot or sleep a lot, or they'll go the opposite direction and find it difficult to sleep because of their connection, but still want to hibernate somewhere. What else? They don't deal well with any sort of fighting with anybody. They really want to fix everything.
Okay. Well, you know, a lot of those traits that, you know, for people listening, you know, as you were listening to those traits, you know, I'm sure those who they could check it off, you know, yep, that's me, you know, maybe not so much, you know, so that I think that would be, that's a good list for people to at least recognize, you know, within themselves, you know, whether or not, you know, where they are on the empath spectrum, so to speak, you know, as far as similarity.
And the other thing is that if you're walking into a room of people and it feels like you're walking into like a thick soup, or they've just got this huge resistance to doing it, pretty much you're an empath, generally speaking. I can't absolutely guarantee that, but unless there's other subconscious reasons for it. But empaths automatically know situations that are going to feel uncomfortable, and they'll have to force themselves to step into that. And which makes it so difficult, as you can be aware, that going into work situations where you're working in an office full of people and all the dynamics that go on there, that can be a constant pressure on them to do something that doesn't feel right.
Yeah, boy, that would be, yeah, especially if you're in a big open air kind of work environment, you know, and I mean, I've been in those, and even, you know, even in without having that sensitivity, I mean, it can be very confusing, very frustrating, very, you know, I mean, hard to keep focus. So, I mean, add on to that the sensitivities, and boy, you have a challenging environment for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and it's exhausting. That's why we see so many people with burnout. And women in particular, they reach a certain age, and burnout can step in very quickly, because basically they've used up all their energy. You know, you use a lot of energy to pushing yourself into a situation that doesn't feel comfortable. If you don't know how to deal with it, you're using energy to actually maintain yourself rather than having a normal energy flow, which is very fluid. It's like constantly giving away a part of yourself every day. That eventually is going to catch up with you, either mentally, emotionally, or physically. Generally, it's physically where we get the symptoms.
Absolutely. So now, what is the difference between being an empath and having empathy?
Yeah, good question. Being empathetic is really someone who puts themselves into, see somebody that they know in a situation that might they might class as bad. So they're in a situation where they might be sad about something, or they're in a physical situation where they need care. These empathetic people dive in there and basically put themselves in that same situation of, and then how would I feel in this situation goes on subconsciously, and they, whatever they would feel, they put onto that person. So they want to save the person. So empathetic is more about saving somebody and putting themselves in that situation rather than feeling that situation from an empath point of view. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does. Yeah, that does. Great. And I just wanted to get that clarity, you know, for the listeners, you know, when it comes to the words being kind of thrown around. By the way, we're in a few minutes. We're going to take a quick break, and I do want to invite listeners that if you want to call in and ask any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And those listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to pose them. I do see we have a couple people in the queue, so we'll get to them right after the break. When it comes to empaths and psychic abilities, or, you know, those kind of precognitive types of abilities, is there a distinction? I mean, do empaths have innate psychic abilities, or is it, how closely are those tied, or how different are they?
Yeah, from my experience, yes, they do have a sensitivity towards being, let's call it psychic, but it's also mostly for empaths, especially the feeler empaths. They have a knowing, so it's not, they may not have like clairaudience or clairvoyance, but they might have that clairsentience where you just know something. Which I think is kind of hard for them because there's no physical thing to back it up. It's like if you're clairaudient, you can hear a voice in your head. It's kind of like, okay, well, that's happening.
Yeah.
But if you just know, you don't get to figure out whether it was that me, is that my crazy mind going on, or is it just something that I should be taking notice of. So I think that's probably the deepest one that a lot of empaths have. But in saying that, the other aspects are all there, and depending on the people's personality as to what they will allow to come through for them more consciously. So we have the whole lot, but yeah, I think the knowing part is probably our strongest trait. I certainly know anyone who wants to work on it can certainly have the whole lot quite easily if they want to as an empath.
Yeah, I would think that, you know, the idea of, you know, is this all in my head? Am I crazy? Am I thinking, making things up, or am I seeing things or feeling things that aren't really there? I would think that would be a real challenge, you know, for someone who's an empath to be able to navigate, you know, that knowing.
And then
you know, if you have that knowing without the basis, like you said, if, you know, clairaudient, you can hear, you know, without that basis, you know, of the source of knowing, you know, that in itself can, you know, even make it more questionable to the person who's experiencing that.
Totally. And I can remember that past myself where I knew things that, for example, as a child, as an empathic child, a lot of them know what the other person, the parents, are feeling. But sometimes what's coming out of the parent's mouth is something completely different to what this child is feeling, that the parent is feeling, makes it extremely confusing, and it also then sets in the trait of not trusting what they feel. So that's, mm-hmm. that's a whole dynamic in regards to the children getting really confused, feeling lost, acting out, getting angry because, you know, the inside world doesn't match their outside world. So there's a lot, and, you know, we're getting more and more sensitive children at this time, and we need to know how to actually help them and work with them, and how to be a good guide for them as our, as a parent, or as a grandmother, grandfather, whatever it might be. We need to be able to know what it is that they need from us so that they can feel safe in this world, because there's so many kids out there that don't feel safe because the world just doesn't match up.
Yeah, that's very important. I agree. Well, we're gonna take that quick break right now, Leanna, and then when we come back, we'll take our couple callers, and then I've got a whole bunch of other questions to ask. Okay, great. So we'll be back, everyone, in about 90 seconds. Stay tuned.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us, and hope you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,200 shows we have had over the past 7 years. Also on the site are links to the products and services we provide, books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store. Our show is available as a free podcast on iTunes, and you can subscribe for free at the iTunes Store, or even quicker, there is a link on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc., and we also have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. Our website, www.biteradio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, my special guest today is Leanna Allison, and she's our guest here from Australia, and we're talking about being an empath. She is the founder of the Institute of Empathic Leadership. You can find out more by visiting her Facebook page, facebook.com/ Institute of Empathic Leadership / services. Again, I do have a direct link to that Facebook page in the show page description, and definitely go visit her and join that discussion. Okay, so with that, we're back, Leanna.
Yes, thank you.
Great. Okay, so we got our callers. Let's go ahead and see what we have here. So we have a caller from the 831 area code. Can we get your first name and location, please?
Hi, this is Karen, and I'm in Florida.
Hello, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hi. I have a comment and also a question. I didn't know what I was for, probably most of my life, and finding out really helped. So I really appreciate your educational website. But I found out that I didn't want to control so much, and I didn't get so upset when I found out it was other people. The reason I wanted to control was because as an empath, I felt all their feelings. And so in order to get rid of the feelings or resolve the feelings or in order to feel better, I wanted to control what was going on. And when I realized it was their feelings, that I didn't have the need to control. And but I did get blindsided. And, despite work on a daily basis, you know, to get clean, stay clean, and all of the tools that are needed, I find that I still feel porous at times, and I still get blindsided. My real weakness is intensity, real intense people. real intense situations, I pick it up and I start, you know, like jittering and shaking and reacting. And, you know, I feel like it's already inside me and coursing through me before I can get a grip of myself. And then sometimes it'll take 2-3 days to remove, you know, basically it's almost like a shock and a trauma to my system when that happens, which is not very often, obviously, but, you know, it does happen frequently enough, you know, like that maybe a few times a month or something. So, you know, 1 week out of the month, I'm, you know, trying to mend myself despite protection and everything. And I'm wondering if you can relate to that at all or if you can address that at all. I'd really appreciate it.
Sure, Karen. Look, and it is a common thing for empaths. We can maintain ourselves, use all our protection and barriers and things like that to feel safe. And what you said about control is absolutely vital for everybody. So being aware that you're controlling a situation allows you to see that it's something that is not working for you, and taking that self-responsibility and finding out you're an empath was fantastic. In regards to the intense people, the way that I've worked with my empathic nature is that instead of pushing things away, I actually look at it and go, well, where is that part of the thing that I'm not okay with, that intensity? Where is that in me? Am I owning that part of me? Because as you know, I'm sure, we are everything that exists. So every aspect of a person that's out there, we have inside of us. We may not use it, we may not action it, but it's in there. So if we judge it, then it's got a hook. Anything that you judge or want to fix, it's got a hook in you that is saying, all right, so if you want to judge it, spirit's saying pretty much, you're going to get more of it until you get okay with that part of yourself or get okay with what it's there to help you with. Does that make sense, Karen?
Not really, because it's not so much a thought process or any judgmental process. It's I feel the intensity without any judgment or without any, I just feel it coursing through me. I feel the intensity of the other person just absolutely coursing through me, like, you know, running through my blood, almost making me nervous. And it's really, it's almost like it's almost like their feeling is contagious and I catch it. And
yeah.
It's not with mental judgment or anything. It's like a feeling that leaves me, you know, I feel kind of upset and nervous. And I'm just trying to alleviate what I picked up and get back to being me. It's not really a thought process at all. I'm just trying to, like, you know, get rid of it. Just like you're just trying, you know, get dirt off you when you pick up dirt, you know, that kind of thing. It really feels more like dirt, except it feels like it's inside me, so it's harder to get rid of.
Okay. Well, if in your, even in your languaging, obviously you're saying it's bad. Now, when I say it's a judgment, it's the judgment is very subconscious, so it's not actually a thought process. It's something very deep inside you. The subconscious mind is having it. It's a very deep pattern. Now, it could have come from all sorts of different experiences that you've had, and it's probably quite justified. But it being there puts I don't like it sensation. Like, you feel the intensity, you feel it, like you said, it's like dirt. So that's a judgment. But if you were curious about it and you allowed it to just flow through, then it would just pass through. But because you don't like it, because it feels like dirt, it sticks. And then you've got to work really hard to get rid of it. It's like judging you're walking through a puddle.
It's not mine. It's not authentically me. It's them. And
yes, it is them, and it should be able to pass through you quite.
Pardon?
So it should be able to pass through you quite easily if you don't have any resistance to it. So resistance is like a barrier that you put up that's got holes in it, and it seeps through the holes, but it won't actually let it back out again. So what I suggest for you is possibly when it happens, straight away go, okay, as you've got to stay relaxed and breathe deeply and go, this isn't mine, I'm going to let it pass through. And just use a real strong mental characteristic. No fear, just a curiosity of watching it pass through, and you can visualize it. But really breathe deeply when you do it. So breathe down into your stomach. If you're breathing up into your shoulders and chest and they're moving, that is a stress breath. And we need to breathe from our stomachs like babies do, because that activates the relaxation chemicals. So if you practice that before it happens, you'll have it down pat, and then you can use that in that situation. But I would suggest, Karen, there's probably something deep down in your subconscious that's really close to your soul level that's causing a judgment around this that probably needs a little bit more discovery.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, Karen, you know, kind of winding this up, it seems, you know, that Liana is saying, you know, when it comes, you know, you talked about when it happens, you know, you want to, it's like dirt, you want to kind of shrug it off. It's kind of invading your space in a way of, you know, kind of making you feel, you know, that this isn't me, I don't want any part of it, you know. You know, et cetera. And what Liana was saying as far as letting it flow through you, if it flows through, you know, then it's kind of like, you know, there's no stoppage. There's no point where it's going to be stuck on you, you know, or stuck in you, you know, if it just flows through you. And I know very much, I'm with you when it comes time, you know, with certain intensity of people, I'm very uncomfortable around, you know, some people who are just, you know, real alpha, intense, you know, energetic and kind of in my face. I've learned to just take a step back and be curious. Why is this energy? Why is this person putting out this energy? You know, what can I learn from it? What can I learn about this person? It has nothing to do with me. You know, I mean, so, and when I do that, it's like the intensity almost crumbles, you know, in the sense, because it's just, I'm taking this, you know, observer kind of stance rather than being involved. For me, you know, that's kind of how I deal with that kind of thing. So, so maybe the next time that you find yourself in a situation like that, you know, do the mental, you know, kind of inquisitiveness or curiosity and, you know, just allow it to go through you and, you know, don't put up a barrier, you know, that's going to stop it, you know, right in its tracks, right within you. Just let it go through you, and then just kind of think, what can I learn about this, you know, rather than just becoming real involved. At least, does that, Liana, is that kind of representing what you were trying to say?
Yeah, absolutely perfect, Robert. That's very clear. So I hope that helps Karen take some different steps.
Try it, Karen. See if there's a different, you know, if you get a different response, if you don't get, you know, a little bit, keep yourself a little bit more balanced in those situations. And let me know, you know, or let Liana know too.
Yeah, I'd love to find.
Okay.
How are you going?
It's kind of hard to be the observer when it's already coursing through you. And I feel like I have a right to choose what's healthy for me and what isn't.
To not want
to have energy that's not mine and that doesn't feel healthy. And so, you know, this is why, you know, I don't want it and it feels dirty to me because it doesn't feel like it's genuinely me. It doesn't feel healthy and I don't want it. And yet it's already coursing.
Karen, can I give you another tip?
Yeah.
There's another tip, Karen, that I can give you in regards to putting up barrier. People normally use a bubble or something like that. If you use the octahedron, now the octahedron is like two pyramids stuck face to base. So it's the eight-sided shape that's like a three-dimensional diamond.
Wonderful.
Now, if you imagine that around you with the top above your head and the bottom obviously below your feet, and you breathe the energy from the top of the octahedron through your body and down into your feet, using those belly breaths, as I mentioned, if you do like 3 to 9 breaths, so always do 3, 3, 3 breaths. 9 breaths is like a completion breath. Use that, really practice it in all different situations. You'll find there's a huge difference.
That's great, actually. I really like that. I will try that. And thank you very much for your awareness and for the information that you're disseminating about this.
My pleasure.
It can really help people a lot. Thank you.
Yes,
you're very
my pleasure.
Welcome. Thanks for
Thank
calling,
you for calling.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah, those are very common challenges that she's experiencing, and that's some great information. Thank you, Leanna. Now, the next bloke, mate, that we have is from down in your area. It's Bob, and he's calling from the Whitsunday Islands off the coast there, the west coast of Australia. So, good day, Bob.
Good morning,
Bruce,
Bob.
And good day, Leanna. Yeah, you were just down the road, aren't you? You're only a couple of cartons away.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, yeah, this is such... I've always been very, very sensitive, and I don't like labels on people, you know, like empath. I think the only place for labels is on the food in the supermarket, so I know what I'm eating. How I experience being an empath is, how can I put it? When people approach me, they're radiating probably one of three energies. They're either a snake or a teddy bear or a void. You know, I feel that energy. And traveling around Australia, which I did, I went 8 times around Australia on a comedy as a folk singer. Wherever I stopped for the night, I could feel whether it was a safe place. And every time I go to Uluru now, I can be 5 miles away from Uluru, and already the hairs on the back of my neck are standing up. But boundaries, for me, boundaries are really essential, and boundaries saved my life. When I was suffering from depression for over 20 years, you know, I've got all this pain, and I just sat down one day and said, well, okay, where's this pain coming from? And the light bulb went off, you know. Any heart-centered, loving, soulful human being is bound to feel pain having to live in such a corrupt and unhuman society. So, you know, I could identify that, put a boundary around it. And now for me, I look at my boundaries not as walls, but my boundaries are the beautiful golden frame around the masterpiece that is me. And the tool I use, because I am master and commander of my life and take full responsibility for this life that I do create, it's my job to nurture me. And so now, nurture, food, clothing, shelter, nature, nurture. And so now, anything that is not nurturing for me, I simply call the beast. And I no longer feed the beast. So, I'm totally in touch with my body, and I found this place within the silence of my heart that I call my knowing, and my knowing has no words. It is a feeling. It's a feeling connected. It's a feeling of, I feel as if I'm made of unobtainium, you know. But, it's a hard road, it's been a rich road.
Yeah. Bob, that's fantastic. It is a rich road, and for empaths such as yourself to really become aware of what your boundaries are and to use them consciously is one of the key things for self-actualization as a human being. And as we mentioned earlier, you've got the knowing, and actually listen to it and recognize it, which is a fantastic thing. So you've been through the battles of life, let's call it, and learned along the way. And I think that's all we can ask for anybody is to actually really recognize their own personal battles and to learn from them, as you said, Robert, and to grow as that individual person on all the levels, to value who they are as a human being, as a spiritual being. Absolutely necessary. And for everybody, it's a different journey, which I find absolutely fascinating very valuable, because we all have something to learn from each other.
Well, for me, Liana, the most powerful work I have ever done in my life is going, and it took, well, it's still ongoing, but I started in 1990. The most powerful work I've ever done on me is going back, healing the wounds of my childhood and reclaiming the belief in myself, because that's when I lost it. It got knocked out of me.
Yeah.
You know, as you said, parents are saying one thing, but their energy is saying another thing. And that's just a mind-scrambling environment. So healing the wounds of childhood has been the most important work I've ever done.
Bob, it's absolutely vital, isn't it? Is that vital for everybody? And childhood is where, up to the age of 7, is where we our personality is set by the time we're 7 years old. So the influences around us up to that time are absolutely huge. Now, parents, I'm not blaming parents. They do the best job they can in that moment. But it's just a learning process for us all. There's no point in blaming anybody, because at some point we decided to come in and live this life.
Yeah, it's not about blame, is it? It's from my own work. It's just parents are dumping on you what got dumped on them. So if you don't hand it back, you pass it on.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, but I know Robert's got a million questions.
That's really good. Really good points you brought up, and I really appreciate you calling in and listening as well.
Thanks, Bob.
I love the energy here, and it's so nice to. I feel your excitement, Liana. Can you feel mine?
Yeah, it's exciting time.
There you go. Well, great. Well, thanks for calling. Okay, so now, Liana, he brought up a good point about, you know, when it came to, when he mentioned anxiety and depression, and particularly, you know, in today's world, sometimes that it's, you know, it's the stories of negativity that are, you know, constantly perpetuated, you know, and highlighted. So does that, how do empaths, I guess, shield themselves or not allow that zeitgeist of negativity affect them negatively?
Okay, well, I see the negative emotions quite differently to a lot of people. Let's call them the shadow emotions, because they're the ones that we don't like or don't want to acknowledge as part of who we are. Because some people feel that if they acknowledge it's part of who they are, then they're going to become that, which isn't actually true. If you acknowledge that you have anxiety within you, anxiety doesn't actually have to come up and control you. It can just be there and be a signal for something. For example, with anxiety and depression, it's basically our soul saying, get ready for some change. You need to change. There's a wisdom in there that's saying something in your life is not working and you need to change something. So if we're not listening to that, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger until we get hit with a sledgehammer, and then, you know, we can't function, or we go into medication or whatever it is. And there's no judgment about any of it. Sometimes we need all of those tools, but it's we don't look at it in a way about what is it trying to teach us? What is it trying to say to us? And that's where there's so much wisdom in the shadow emotion, because it's trying to tell you something that has to change in your life. But for some reason, like, change is one of the biggest fears in our world for human beings. A lot of people just don't want to change. They want to stay comfortable. They want to stay in their bubble, and that's mm-hmm. where it's safe, which is understandable and fine if you're okay, if you're really healthy and happy there. But mm-hmm. if you're not, then there's a sign saying something must change. Your innate wisdom within you is trying to get your attention. So that's how I see the negative or shadow emotions, anxiety, okay. depression, even anger. I mean, anger is pure passion and creativity and action. But if we don't access the anger, then it's wasted. So we don't have to have the anger directed at somebody, but we can direct it into being passionate about something, being really creative and finding new ways of doing things, and then being able to put them into action steps that really serve you on a very deep level, not the surface you.
Does right, yeah, you know, that question? Is, yeah, oh yeah, and you're right, it is, anger can be definitely a motivator, you know, and channeling it in a healthy, productive manner is, you know, really what you want to do. You know, it's, Now, when it comes to being an empath and being in the relationship, is being an empath a plus, or are there inherent challenges, you know, with
I think
with
in every, it's like every situation, it's a bit of both.
Okay.
As a deep feeling empath, I'm in a relationship, and my husband is not into personal growth or energy or anything like that. He's a good Australian guy who does what he does and, you know, is who he is. The thing I think about being an empath in a relationship is we have to learn to accept the other person for who they are and not make how they are on the emotional, mental level anything about us. They are who they are. We are who we are. We are connected in a relationship, but we are not the same people.
Right.
Now,
okay.
A lot of times as an empath, we want the same people around us, and that won't ever actually happen, because as a soul, we're here to learn. If we had the same sort of people around us, we're not going to get activated by the stuff we don't like. So those sort of people are always going to turn up, so we can actually get the life lessons and the learnings that we're meant to do. It's all about learning.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, when you said it was kind of both ways or double-edged sword, you know, that was kind of what I was thinking when I was pondering, you know, that question of, you know, what would that be like? And so,
Well, I can certainly understand my husband very well, because he doesn't actually have to communicate how he's feeling, because I know, which is a bonus for him.
Uh-huh.
And it works quite well.
Well, that's good. Yeah, that's great. Now, when it comes to healing modalities, you know, a lot of I mentioned in the introduction, you kind of went through and learned various modalities, you know, to learn about, you know, your gift. When it comes to empaths, can energy healing, you know, or the energy based type healing modalities, can that be like of very high benefit for them? I mean, because they're empathic, that it may be they're disposed positively to the effects of energy-based healing?
Yes, energy healing feels wonderful with the right practitioner. If the practitioner isn't really clear and coming from a really observational point of view, so no judgment on anything, then energy healing can be fantastic to recharge the batteries and clear away the confusion. But it's a constant thing. If you can't do it yourself and you're getting someone else to do it, then it would be a constant requirement.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually they will have to learn a little bit more deeply about themselves so that they can actually not have the problems to start with that need clearing. But energy healing feels fantastic in regards to recharging the batteries and clearing the decks for a while so you can actually get a clear vision of what's going on so you can actually probably then take some more different steps in life and in your growth to really ground yourself into a far more holistic way of living. Now, one of the things that I haven't mentioned about empaths is they must ground themselves. Quite often, empaths aren't really in their body because it feels bad. So they must keep grounding themselves into their body so that they can feel. Because if they're out of their body starts to break down. If you're not in your body, then you can't actually. Your body isn't always going to be that healthy. So it's a really important thing for empaths to do.
Okay,
it just means they feel well.
Yeah, now we're getting toward the end, but I don't want to close up without talking about your Institute of Empathic Leadership. What's that institute all about?
Well, it's all about what we've been speaking about. I basically, as an empath, I want to share what I've learned and know with other empaths and feelers, deep feelers, emotional people, in regards to how they can use their own innate way of being as a positive, as a superpower. It's like, and I call it leadership because we want to be leaders of our world, our body, our environment, and we have to start from inside ourselves. If we're not a leader of ourselves, we can't actually then change anything externally. So if we lead from a very holistic viewpoint, and I teach people how to be in their power around being an empath, being in their power around the shadow emotions and how to use them in a very positive way, how to go through the child history without having too much trauma relived. We don't need to relive trauma, but to go through the history and get the gold out of it, get the wisdom out of it, the learnings, and integrate them so that we can actually stand up in life to be a very powerful, sensitive human being. That to me is what I'm really passionate about, because there's so many people out there that have the ability but don't know how to make it their superpower. That's what I want to do. And that's why I started the Institute, to help the people that have reach burnout, depression, all of those things, and make life actually a joy.
Yeah, you know, it's when you think about being an empath, I mean, the old saying about walk a mile in someone's shoes, you really, as an empath, you really get a real up close kind of personal insight into what that would be when you're, you know, anywhere the physical or, you know, emotional types. But you really get an idea of the essence of someone when you're in their midst.
Yeah.
And it seems that knowing can really be a bridge to a stronger relationship or a more positive interaction with that individual that someone else wouldn't have.
Yeah, you're right, Robert. To be able to connect with someone on such a deep level is such a joy, to be able to physically feel love. Like someone is radiating love and you can feel it as a physical feeling within yourself is absolutely amazing. And it's something that I think everybody should be able to experience. And the connection that you have with your family and your children and friends, you said, so it's so deep and so open it's what everybody is looking for, but they just don't know how to get there, unfortunately. And some people do, and they've done that, and you know, good on them, because it's a journey. But other people, if they want to really learn about this stuff and learn how to be more present in relationships, not get triggered by other people, then that's what I teach.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a pleasure to speak with you very much today, and I know that I will be sending people your way, you know, when it comes to
Thank
learning
you so
more
much,
about being an empath. So I appreciate you getting up early and spending your time with us.
Thank you, Robert. I really appreciate being on your show, and I've had a great time. I always do talking about this, so thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Again, everyone, today my very special guest joining us from Australia has been Liana Allison, and we've been talking about being an empath, what it's about, empathy. Again, you can find out more by visiting her page on Facebook, and that is www.facebook.com/Institute of Empathic Leadership/services. Again, there is a direct link in the show page description to her page there, so be sure to join in and on the conversation. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show, and until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Bite Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.